everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the age of AIDS when we return. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? It's pretty obvious that something is wrong and very wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, banned from our public institutions, and banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these ten simple, time-tested laws, we see the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place. And now they teach the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, public institutions. We've made them a part of our national psyche. Now, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook, wouldn't you say, over the past 50 years? Are you aware, for instance, that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but she can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent? Now, that's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. Our founding fathers practiced and they advocated the Ten Commandments, and they even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's at least one school left in America that still teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits that you receive for their observance. You know, every law has a penalty. You don't have to know what that penalty is to suffer its effect. So whether you call that the Mosaic Law, or the Law of God, or Common Law, or Natural Law, or Karma, or, it's automatic. It works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which are the natural penalties for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package first? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. Now, the number to call, 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to the website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send an email request for that free General Law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. The Age of AIDS is a report put out by WGBH Boston in their program Frontline. If you'd like a copy of this report, you go to www.pbs.org. Then click on to WGBH/pages/frontline. And that'll give you the report. Well, in the year 2000, George W. Bush was elected president, and soon after he took office, the Bush administration is lobbied by economist Jeffrey Sachs, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan, and others, proposing the idea of a global fund to provide treatment for AIDS and other infectious diseases in the world's poorest countries. Now, some administration officials are skeptical at first that the distribution and implementation of treatment regimens in Africa is even practical. So the UN Security Council debates the AIDS issue. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Richard Holbrooke, he proposed to the UN Secretary General, Kofi Annan, that the Security Council address HIV and AIDS after visiting Africa and witnessing the continent's burgeoning crisis. The meeting marks the first time that the Security Council has convened on a health issue. Now, that was a breakthrough because it opened so many doors. because presidents, prime ministers say ooh and ah because it was debated in the Security Council. Hey, this must be a real serious problem. That's totally ridiculous, but that's the kind of reaction that you get. Now, this concept that AIDS now is a disease caused by poverty came up. It was, see if I can identify the guy here that brought it up. He's the president of South Africa. The president of South Africa said that AIDS was a problem, all right, but the AIDS problem was caused by poverty. Excuse me. Boys and girls, excuse me. There are rich people all over the world that have AIDS. And there are poor people all over the world that have AIDS. And the bottom line to that story is that riches or poverty has nothing to do with AIDS. It's not an economic problem. And I mentioned to you before, it's not even a medical problem. The problem, here it is, it says the 13th International AIDS Conference held in Durban, South Africa, exposes many Western scientists to the scale of Africa's AIDS problem for the first time, and President Thabo Mbeki speaks at the opening session and restates his belief that poverty, not a virus, is at the root of AIDS. This guy's the president of South Africa. I mean, this guy's probably got a degree after his name. He says, hey, this is an economic problem. Well, the bottom line is, I've said before, it's a legal problem. It's a behavior problem, and people violate certain laws, such as sodomy, whoredom, blood transfusions. They eat blood. And as a result of that, the violation of these laws produces a penalty. The penalty is AIDS, and the reason that it's a penalty is because God tells you three times in the Scripture that I'm going to lay these diseases on you if you don't practice my law, but if you practice my law, I will not lay these diseases upon you. Now, when you go to public school, they give you a concept or a belief concerning disease, that disease is something that's out of your control. You cannot control disease. That's what you're taught. That's a lie. You can control disease. And in fact, disease is a legal problem. It's a behavioral problem, and you ought to change your behavior so that you can avoid the penalty, which is disease. Disease is a penalty for a violation of law, and it's God-ordained. It has nothing to do with religion, though. It has everything to do with the design mechanism of the world and with human beings. My bulls are out here, and they're breeding anything that, you know, any cow that wiggles, moves, or squirms. They don't get venereal disease. Human beings get venereal disease. My bulls and my cows, they don't get AIDS. Human beings get AIDS. And that's because AIDS, like bubonic plague, and like cancer, are penalties that we pay for the violation of law. Now, this Mbeki, in April, South Africa's president sends a 5-page letter explaining his views on AIDS to President Clinton, then UN Secretary General Kofi Annan and others. And as Africans, we have to deal with this uniquely African catastrophe. Now, he calls this a catastrophe. I mentioned that to you the other day. I think catastrophe is the correct word to use. And the reason I say that is because the bubonic plague killed 100 million people back in the Middle Ages. 100 million people. That's a bunch. Population of the world was probably around 1 billion, killed about 10%. If the population was 500 million, it killed 20%. Now, there's a prophecy in Revelation 6 talking about disease that's going to take 1/4, 25%, 1.5 billion people dead from disease on planet Earth. You're living in that age. You're living in that time. And AIDS is just one of many diseases, but AIDS is a pandemic disease. It's killed 70 million so far. Excuse me. Killed 30 million so far. 70 million have contracted AIDS so far in 25 years. It grows geometrically. That means that it doubles every so many years. And in this doubling process, if it was left unchecked, I mean, if it just carried it out to its last doubling, it would consume everybody in the world. Now, everybody in the world is not going to get AIDS because not everybody in the world is going to break the law. But everybody that does violate these five laws that we've articulated in this series run the risk of getting AIDS. The bright spot is that if you break a law, you don't always get the penalty, but you're always subject to the penalty. If you don't break the law, you're not subject to the penalty and you don't need to worry about it. So I've said before, if you're going to practice risky behavior, you need health insurance. If you're going to eat Jimmy Dean pure pork sausage, you need health insurance, no doubt about it. I don't eat Jimmy Dean, so I don't need health insurance. Now, the 13th International AIDS Conference now, the same Mbeki over here says, this is the president of South Africa, he says that AIDS is a poverty, it's an economic problem. He called it a catastrophe. He writes, it's obvious that whatever lessons we have, if we have to and may draw from the West about the grave issues of HIV/AIDS, a simple superimposition of Western experience on African reality would be absurd and illogical, he said. And Mbeki also defends the AIDS denialists. He said, not long ago in our country, people were killed, tortured, imprisoned, and prohibited from being quoted in private and in public because the established authority believed that their views were dangerous and discredited. We're now being asked to do precisely the same thing that the racist apartheid tyranny we opposed did, because it is said there exists a scientific view that is supported by the majority against which dissent is prohibited. The letter is leaked to the Washington Post, infuriating and embarrassing Mbeki. The following month, he holds an AIDS conference in South Africa and gives the denialists equal time. So there are people out there that deny that this thing AIDS is a problem. They're called the denialists, and it's kind of like the Holocaust denialists. Denial. And Mbeki over here, he's got a good point. He says, well, why should we be muzzled because of the majority view? Hey, listen, boys and girls, I have the minority of the minority of the minority view. If you go to the Bible and read it and take the biblical view, you will be in the minority. Nobody accepts it. Nobody believes it. Nobody reads it. Nobody pays attention to it. Now, a few of us do, and a few of us save a lot of money on health insurance premiums. And a few of us live confident that we won't be stricken by AIDS. Now, as long as I practice the law, I won't get AIDS. But now, if I break the law, then I can expect that that's the result, or that's going to be the penalty. There's a penalty that you pay, you know, for every broken law. Now, the Accelerating Access, or Access, initiation was formed. The AAI is formed by five pharmaceutical companies. UNAIDS, WHO, that's the World Health Organization, the World Bank, UNICEF, and the United Nations Population Fund, to provide deeply discounted drugs to the least developed countries. And so, they're going to treat this as a medical problem. Okay, and as they treat it as a medical problem, they're going to be sorely disappointed. But of course, as a medical problem, it makes a lot of money. As a legal problem, it doesn't make much. You know, it doesn't cost anything to avoid AIDS, but once you get it, it's going to cost you a lot to get rid of it. That's assuming, of course, that you can get rid of it. Now, I said that you could. So I'm going to digress here for a moment. I'm going to tell you something here about how to get rid of AIDS or how to cure disease. Disease now is sometimes a medical problem, sometimes it's a legal problem. In most cases, it's a legal problem. You get sick, you get a disease because you broke a law. In some cases, a person is totally innocent. I mentioned that to you last time. A kid is born or baby is born, and he has he's a hemophiliac. A baby is born with AIDS. The baby isn't guilty. You know, religious guys say, well, see, that's inherited sin. Inherited sin is poppycock. And if you think that it's got some merit, then send me a letter and show me where inherited sin is mentioned in the Bible. Would you do that for me? Now, don't send me some document or some doctrine from your church. I don't deny that your church believes in inherited sin. I said inherited sin didn't come from God and it didn't come from the Bible. It probably came from your religion. It probably is a good religious doctrine. I'm not here to pick a fight with you over religion. The Bible isn't a religious book. The Bible is a law book, primarily. It's also a science book. It's a history book. It is the Creator's handbook for human beings to tell you how to take care of your body. If you didn't have it, you wouldn't know what kind of fuel to put in your body. What kind of fuel not to put in. I mentioned that to you last time. But medicine is a food that you can use to overcome AIDS, cancer. Whatever the disease is, there's a solution to that problem. But the problem is to first attack it judicially. You've got to stop breaking the law. I got a friend over here that's got cancer. So some months back, I approached him. It's a little difficult to talk to a friend, you know, just the way life is. But he chews or he imbibes in snuff, you know, Copenhagen. And he drinks. Now, he's got cancer. He knows he's got cancer. He knew he had cancer then. I wanted to share with him a little information. And that is, the cancer is a poison. It's caused by poisoning your body and starving your body. His immune system is weak, and so the cancer cells have taken over, and they're growing. And if your immune system is working, you get cancer cells in your body, and so do I. They develop. And then your immune system runs out, attacks them, and destroys them, and throws them out. Now, when your immune system gets weak, typically through poisoning, and or nutritional deficiencies, you don't have enough vitamin C, you don't have enough vitamin A, you don't have enough mineral, and then your immune system gets weak, and then these cancer cells proliferate. Well, my friend's cancer cells are proliferating, and he's no dummy. He's using Indian black salve, and he's burned out a number of tumors. Now, the fact that you've got these tumors sends you a signal. It says, hey, listen, your immune system is weak. When you've got AIDS, your immune system is weak. That's why they call it the autoimmune deficiency disease. Your immune system is deficient. Well, then, doesn't your common sense say to you that you need to build your immune system? Now, I mentioned to you a little earlier in the week, a lady wrote me a letter, and she said, my mother's dying of a word I've never heard of, but they're giving her chemotherapy, and so I assume that's probably cancer. Some form of cancer. Now, once you start this chemotherapy, the chemotherapy destroys your immune system. Once you have a liver transplant, you now have to have these immune depressant drugs, or your body's going to reject, it's going to attack and destroy that liver, which is a foreign object in your body. I mean, that's the design mechanism of your machine, your body. So it should become pretty obvious to you that if your liver isn't functioning like Mickey Mantle's, that what you need to do is to build your liver. That if your immune system isn't working, you need to build your immune system. And this is done by herbs. It's done by diet. Let me give you a couple of illustrations. You go to the Kroger store and you buy some spinach, you take it home, you cook it, and you eat it, and you get iron and vitamins and minerals out of it. Well, one of the minerals that's in this spinach is calcium. Calcium is an important nutrient that your body needs. All right, now, let's suppose that you don't have enough calcium in your body, and one of the first things that you notice is that you're getting cramps, Charlie horses. You know, you get these painful cramps. once in a while I get a painful cramp. When I do, immediately I say to myself, well, what do I need now, to go to the doctor and get morphine to kill the pain? Or do I need to give my body more calcium, because that's a signal that I've got a calcium deficiency? It says, well, I should eat more spinach. So I'm a little bit wiser than that, and so I say, look, lamb's quarter is an herb. It's a noxious weed is what most people call it. But lamb's quarter, this noxious weed, has 300% more calcium per unit of serving, as does spinach. Now, most of you people, you know, you go to the store and you choke down the spinach. I don't know if you have to choke down lamb's quarter or not, but certain of these herbs have more of this nutrient, and that's why it's called a medicine. In the Bible, they're called medicines. Now, honey is one of them. You know, many of you people have allergies. If you would eat the local honey, your allergies would go away. And then why is that? Because it's a form of inoculation. See, the bees are running around and they get their feet on these flowers and these plants. And so they run around from plant to plant, they run back to their beehive, and they make a substance called propolis. And they make two or three other substances. You know, one of them is called honey. And then they've got one that's called pollen, bee pollen. You can buy this bee pollen, you know, from the health food store, but it's kind of artificial and synthetic. Here's the problem. You buy honey from California, but you live in Virginia. Okay. The plants that are around you in Virginia are giving you these allergies, this hay fever. Here's what you need. You need the local honey, comes off of the bees' feet, from the local plants that are right there in your community. Then by eating that honey with that pollen from those bees in your local community, it will give you an immunity to those flowers and those pollens. I mean, that's well known. It's fairly simple, straightforward. It's very logical, kind of common sense. People don't do that. They go to the grocery store, the big supermarket, and they buy Sioux bee honey. First problem with Sioux bee honey is this. Number one, it's heated, and the enzymes are killed. That's why it doesn't sugar. Number two, the Sioux bee honey is adulterated with up to 49% corn sweetener. So it's only half honey and it's half corn sweetener. But it's a little bit more honey. It can be 51, 55, 60% honey. And they can still call it pure. Nothing pure about it. It's adulterated. And the third problem is it probably came from California. Well, unfortunately, you know, for Californians, it's probably got pretty good pollen in it. But this honey that you're buying doesn't have any pollen because it's been filtered. So you need natural, unheated, raw honey from your local area. And that'll get rid of your allergies. See? Now, that's scriptural, that's biblical, and the word honey appears in the Bible many, many times, and it talks about honey being used as a medicine. And the word medicine appears in the Bible four times. I mentioned that to you last time. In Proverbs 17, verse 22, this thing of medicine is mentioned. Let me flip over here and I'll read it to you. So when God made plants, he made medicine. And this medicine is pretty important for you. 17:22, he says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Laughter, a merry heart. Stress is a factor in disease. And you need to get rid of the stress. So laughter works like a medicine. That's why cheering somebody up is pretty important. Now, I told you about my friend over here. He chews Copenhagen. Nice guy. And he drinks whiskey. He's got cancer. I tried to suggest to him that he give up the tobacco and the booze so that his immune system could get ahead of the cancer. Your immune system is the only thing that's going to destroy the cancer. The only thing that's going to destroy the AIDS is your immune system. This report has a little bit more to add than I have delivered here this week, but this report from PBS points that out. So, my friend now is on his deathbed. He's about ready to die. I don't know if he's given up on the tobacco and on the booze. It's probably too late. One old naturopath guy told me, he said, if your body is still producing, if still operating at 15% of its energy level, he said, I can put you on a regimen and I can save you at 15%. He said, but once your energy level drops below 15%, it takes more of that energy just to do your body functions. Now, let me give you a quick illustration. My wife had cancer here about 30 years ago, and the first thing that the naturopath did in that case was to take her off of meat. Meat. And that's because your body, when you eat a big meal, takes 75% of your body energy to digest that food. Boys and girls, when you're sick, the last thing you want to do is be eating meat. You need protein, but you need vegetable protein. So, my friend is dying, and numerous times we've had people come here, and remember I mentioned to you this earlier in the week, this young lady wrote me a letter, says, we're running out of time, and I need help. Okay. But it's not the mother that wrote me the letter, it was the daughter. The daughter wants to save her mother's life, but the mother isn't as interested in saving her life. And cancer is recognized as a legitimate means of suicide. And once people discover they've got cancer, they oftentimes give up and quit because their spirit's broken. You see that here, Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart does good like a medicine. But a broken spirit dries the bones. A broken spirit kills you. Once you become depressed and morose, then there's not much that can be done for you. If you want to save yourself, you can do that. But if you don't want to save yourself, then it can't be done. So oftentimes people write me letters and they say, well, what are we going to do about this? I cannot save my friend's life. He could save his own life if he had a mind to do it. But evidently he doesn't. Or I presume he would do it. Now I have a mind to save my life, and so I'm actively working at protecting myself from AIDS, herpes, and VD. I'm actively working to feed my body and to build my immune system. You know, most people don't care about it. Most people are more interested in smoking a pack of Marlboros than they are about building their immune system. Most people are more interested in Oreo cookies and pasteurized milk than they are about their immune system. They're not concerned about diabetes. They're not concerned about cancer. Now, once they get it, boy, then they get religion in a hurry. Then they want to go to Jesus. Then they want to go to religion. Religion can't save you. I mentioned that to you earlier. I had a friend of mine who had cancer. He went to the religious guys, and they prayed over him. They anointed him with oil. They did all those things and all those incantations that religious people do, and then he died. No. Religion isn't the solution to your medical problem. And medicine isn't the solution to your judicial or your legal problem. And as the president of South Africa lays poverty at the door of AIDS, boys and girls, AIDS is not an economic problem. It's a legal problem. Now, when you've got an economic problem, you need an economic solution. When you've got a medical problem, you need a medical solution. And when you've got a judicial problem, you need a judicial solution. Oftentimes, people write me a letter and say, you know, Gordon, you're kind of a religious guy, and you couch this religion in law. Children, pay attention. You cannot divorce life, the world, the universe from law. Law is the basis for everything that goes on around us. There are laws that regulate economics. There are laws that regulate medicine. There are laws that regulate sickness and disease. I didn't make it that way. I'm a reporter. I'm here to report to you. That's the way the game is played. Most people don't want to hear that. They want to hear about millions and billions of years. Now, medicine comes along and they say, well, it's genetic. And it's true. There are some genetic problems. Hemophilia is one of them. If it's genetic, then it's not your fault. And everybody wants to hear that their medical problem is genetic. My cancer is genetic. My homosexual behavior is genetic. I can't control it. Because if that's true, because if it is in fact genetic, it's beyond your control. It was in your genes. You didn't have anything to do about it. You can't control your sex. In fact, you didn't. I didn't decide to be born male. It just happened that way, and that's the way life is. I'm stuck with it, whether I like it or not. You didn't decide to be born female. Boys and girls, with few exceptions, disease is not genetic. There are some exceptions, but they're rare exceptions, and hemophilia is one of them. Hang on, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. And the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the webpage. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling us direct at the Law School, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are going to reciprocate. Most of these authors and publications that we cite here on The Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily 100% endorsed by The Law Hour and editorial review. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about The Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, I told you I was going to show you a couple of three scriptures in here that deal with medicine. Jeremiah 30 is another one. Jeremiah 30, verses 10 through 17. Tell you a little bit of story here, a little bit more of the story. God uses certain herbs and certain medicines over here for a reason. And in Jeremiah 30, verses 10 through 17... He says in verse 17, I'm going to restore the health unto you, and I'll heal you of your wounds, says the Eternal, because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Starting in verse 10, he says, "Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Eternal, and neither should you be dismayed, O Israel, because, lo, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with you, saith the Eternal, to save you. And though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you, yet will I not make a full end of you, and I will correct you, and correct you in measure, and will not leave you altogether unpunished. For thus saith the Eternal, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous, and there is none to plead your cause, that you may be bound up. You have no healing medicines, and all of your lovers have forgotten you. They seek you not, for I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of your iniquity, because your sins were increased." Our sins are increased, and because of the multitude of our iniquity, we have been punished with disease, and our medicines cannot heal us. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't some medicines out there that can heal us, but those medicines come from the Scripture. They're not going to come from Merck or Pfizer. And if you're looking for a cure-all, a vaccine, you're going to be sorely disappointed. The cure-all that you're looking for is an immune system that will fight off those diseases. And Jeremiah had a little bit more to say on this in Jeremiah 46, verse 11. Jeremiah 46, verse 11, uses this word medicine. It's mentioned in the Bible four times. He says, I got this right here, Jeremiah 46, 11. "Go up into Gilead and take balm, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt. In vain shall you use many medicines, for you shall not be cured. Now the nations have heard of your shame, and they cry, and your cry has filled the land, for the mighty man has stumbled against the mighty, and then they are fallen both together." Now, America, and I assume you Canadians and Australians and New Zealanders and you Western Europeans are all in the same boat. The Anglo-Saxons have forsaken our God and adopted evolutionary philosophy. And so you want to treat disease as a medical problem rather than as a legal problem, and because of that, you're off on a tangent. You're not going to succeed, you know, any more than you're going to fly your automobile to New York. You might fly an airplane to New York, but your automobile ain't going to fly to New York. Now, you might drive your car to New York, but you're not going to fly it to New York any more than you're going to drive your airplane to New York. You might fly it, but the analogy, I think, is pretty apropos. If you got an economic problem, you need an economic solution. You got a medical problem, you need a medical solution. You got a judicial problem, you need a judicial solution. Disease, boys and girls, by and large, not in every case, but by and large, is a judicial, it's a legal problem. You need to solve it legally. Now, in Ezekiel 47:12, Ezekiel had a little bit to say about this also. In Ezekiel 47, right under near the end of the book, verse 12. He says, "And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, and neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine." And in the margin it says, "for bruises and for sores." Now, I mentioned to you, honey is a medicine. It's a medicine that you use to cure a medical problem. If you've got bruises and sores, that's a medical problem. For which there are leaves. There are various herbs that you can use. Poke, for instance, is a medicinal herb. Lamb's quarter is a medicinal herb. Honey is a medicinal herb. So is propolis and pollen. So when you have a medicinal problem, you know, a medical problem, then you need an herb to take care of that. Now, in conjunction with this AIDS, now that you've got AIDS, now you need what's known in Scripture. Now, the religious guys come in here, see, you need grace. That's a fact. And this is where prayer comes in. Now, I told you about this religious guy. He went out and he got all of the incantations that religious man could put upon him, and then promptly died from cancer. Now, it is true that there was a king back in ancient times. He was sick unto death, and he went to God, and he repented. That's where grace comes in. He repented. He said, I'm going to stop breaking your law. So the first thing you need to do to heal yourselves is to stop breaking that law. Now, if you'll stop breaking that law, you're a sodomite and you got AIDS, stop breaking that law and then go to work on herbology over here and you might be able to do some good. God said to this ancient king, he said, because you've humbled yourself before me and repented, he said, I'm going to give you 15 more years of life. I'm going to lengthen your life. I think his name was Ahab, as I recall. And he gave him 15 more years. But Ahab was smart enough to recognize that he had a judicial problem. Another king that's mentioned in Scripture, he went off to the medical doctors. And Elijah was instructed by God. He said, now I want you to intercept these guys and tell them that because they have forsaken me and gone off to the gods of Moloch, the medical gods, the medical doctors, he said, he will not live. He is surely going to die. He will not come down off of his bed. And sure enough, that king died. Now, there's a couple of more examples. Now, what we're dealing with here is a judicial problem. And that by going to the medical gods, you can't solve it. Now, here's what happened to the neighbor lady across the road. She got cancer. And at that juncture of time, her body was more than 15%. Her body energy was way more than 15%. All she had was some lumps. She had some malignant tumors. She had plenty of physical body energy. Now she had a choice to make. Shall I go to the medical gods, the gods of Moloch, and shall I have chemotherapy? Or shall I treat this as a judicial problem, repent, change my lifestyle, strengthen my immune system by holistic medicine? And she made a choice. And she went to the medical doctors. She went to St. John's. All right, now she's been in the hospital 34 days. This is her last round now. She's on her deathbed. And now they're going to give her a bone marrow transplant. She's got plenty of insurance. Boys and girls, as long as you've got insurance, the doctors have some new treatment, some new plan for you to give you hope that, yes, we're going to save you. Now, there was a woman that had this issue of blood. She probably had cancer, probably had leukemia. And she recognized that what she had here was a judicial problem. She'd spent everything she had on the doctors. And then she came to the Messiah, and she touched the hem of his garment. And he said, somebody touched me. Now, there's a big press of people around him. You know, he's surrounded by all these people. Peter said to him, what are you making this kind of a comment for? Why are you saying, who touched me? You're thronged with people, and you say, who touched me? He said, somebody touched me. I felt virtue go out from me. And then he looked at this woman. He said, you're the one that touched me. She says, Lord, yeah, I touched the hem of your garment. And she told her story. She says, I've been everywhere. I've done everything that I can think of to do. These young ladies that wrote me the letter earlier in the week, I commented on. She said, we've just done everything that we can think of. And so I came to you. I came to you. You're my creator. You can heal me. And then he said, your faith has made you whole. And he healed her right on the spot. Now, you can do that today. This God here says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can do that today. But I don't think religious man can do it for you. So I think if you went to God like that ancient king did, and you said, now listen, I got a judicial problem here, I screwed up, and I'm sorry as hell. And if you'll heal me, I will stop doing what I have been doing. I'm going to stop the sodomy, stop the blood transfusions. I'm going to stop eating pig. I'm going to practice the law now. I'm going to do like you told me to. I think you can get grace, and I think you can be healed. But you're the guy that's got to do that. I mean, I can't do that for you. I can't repent for you. Hell, I got a problem doing that for myself. You're going to have to do that for yourself. The Apostle Paul made an observation. He said, you need to work out your own salvation and work it out with fear and trembling. You know, when you're down here to where you've got AIDS and you're on your deathbed, you know, you got cancer and you're on your deathbed, now's the time for you to make peace with God. And while you're at it, why don't you turn over a new leaf and say, listen, you know, I've been eating Jimmy Dean for years and years and pickled pig's feet and smoking camels and doing all these bad things. Hey, God, what if I made a deal with you right now? I'm going to stop doing that. Well, listen, children, it can only help you. If you stop chewing snuff, you stop poisoning your body. You stop suppressing your immune system. See, that nicotine is suppressing your immune system. That's why when you smoke, smokers have more colds and more flus and more medical problems than people that don't smoke. And that's because they're constantly suppressing their immune system. Your immune system is made up of your pancreas and your thyroid and appendix and lymph system. You know, there's a bunch of body organs in here that work together to fend off disease. Now, when you drink to excess, you know, when you're drinking strong drink, particularly whiskey and vodka, you know, they're in fact, whiskey and vodka are probably closer akin to drugs than is wine, which is a naturally occurring product or process. You know, whiskey is made by a distilling process. Now, the strong drink mentioned in the scripture is probably more on the order of a liqueur, a derivative of some plant, rather than a derivative of a chemical process, you know, called distillation. But leaving that question aside, alcohol is not against the law. You can drink alcohol. Alcohol, wine, for instance, was used in the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10:34. This guy is beaten up and he's got open cuts and wounds and sores, and so this guy comes along and he pours a little wine in there. Well, wine has alcohol. Alcohol is a disinfectant. Why is he doing it? To prevent infection. To prevent infection. But what do you do when you have infection? Well, it's your immune system that's going to deal with any infections. You've got to eat those kinds of foods like lamb's quarter and poke, which will build your immune system so that your immune system can fight it off. You've got to build more of those helper T cells. So, you know, one of the first things that you want to do when you come down with cancer is to go to work on building your immune system and stop the poisoning. Oftentimes I hear people say, well, you gotta adopt a good diet. And most of you people listening to me right this minute haven't got a clue as to what a good diet is. Not a clue. And there's 50,000 different diets out there for you to follow. I remember one time I was at a buddy of mine and his wife was on a macro, what do you call that, a macro diet or some kind. I mean, this woman ate no meat. She just ate vegetables and nuts and grains and stuff like that. And it has something to do with macro something or other. Or macro something. Kind of a diet. A crazy kind of a diet. And I can readily see why people reject, you know, this. And they do it because they're religious. They get real religious and they get off on these things. My buddy, now he wasn't one of these health food kind of nuts. He just ate. He had good health and she constantly had bad health. That's one of the things I observe with health food nuts. They're skinny, undernourished runts. Skinny, undernourished runts. And these women have been taught, you know, I guess from childhood. Maybe they learn it from Barbie. that breastfeeding is bad, and Enfamil and Similac is good. And so they put their babies on these formulas, and then they produce just like we do here with cattle. You know, if you're in a dairy business, you want to sell your milk to the creamery and put your calves on milk starter or milk replacer, they call it. And without a doubt, the calves scour. The calves are sick. They're always sickly little runts. Now, you take a look at a calf that's sucking on his mom, and he's a great, big, fat, healthy sucker. He just tougher nails. Now, when women nurse their babies, there's 107 elements in breast milk, ladies, 107. And the best that I've heard so far from Similac is that they've got 12. Now, why would you trade 107 from your creator and designer for 12? I mean, that doesn't make any sense coming out of the chute. It makes all the sense in the world for pediatricians and for Kraft Foods and the food manufacturers. I mean, there's no money to be made off of women that breastfeed their babies, but there's lots of money to be made off of women that dry themselves up and then put their babies on Enfamil or Similac and try to raise them on a bottle. They produce skinny, undernourished runts, number one, and because they're skinny, undernourished runts, they're sick. And because they're sick, it puts money in the pockets of pediatricians and hospitals. And then these babies, you know, they turn out as children, 5, 6, 8 years old, either one, they become fat kids, or two, skinny, undernourished runts, or they've got some kind of a disease like child diabetes. I had an old hillbilly woman over here one time. I shared this with you. She was talking to me. She had some goats over there, and I had some babies over here at the time, and I was buying goat milk for them, you know. So I went over one time to buy some goat milk, and then she mentioned that her brother died. Brother had cancer, and her brother died. And I said, well, what did he die of? And she said, oh, they just doctored him to death. Boy, that woman just hit the nail right on the head. They just doctored him to death. And that's what they're doing to my friend out here. They're just doctoring him to death. And that's because cancer is not a medical problem, it's a legal problem. He's trying to treat it medically, and that's not the problem. He might as well, you know, when you got cancer, you might as well go tithe. Tithing is an economic law. It's an economic issue. You don't need to tithe. You need a judicial solution for your cancer. That cancer was caused by a crime, and you need to stop committing that crime. Stop violating that law. Now, honey is also a disinfectant, in case you didn't know that. The old Roman guys, you know, the old Roman soldiers, they'd put honey in their wounds. Wine is a disinfectant. And things that you buy like arnica is an herb. Lamb's quarter is an herb. Poke is a herb, an herb. Now there's, if I remember right, there's 82, 3 or 4 of these herbs. So the round number is about 80 of these herbs. 32 of these herbs are mentioned in the Bible by name. 32. They're not the only ones. You know, pharmaceutical companies are scouring the Amazon jungles all the time trying to find plants that have certain chemicals in them. What they want to do is take those plants, which are designed by God as herbs, and they're either for food or they're for medicine, and they want to synthesize those chemical ingredients. Let me tell you. You can synthesize vitamin C, but there's a big difference between vitamin C and natural vitamin C. The vitamin C that you get out of an orange or out of a poke plant is much superior to the vitamin C that you get out of coal tar, a petroleum distillate or derivative that's manufactured by DuPont in a chemical laboratory. Big difference. There's a big difference between biological iron that you get out of a plant and the iron filings. I mean, if you want to take iron, you know, just take some iron filings and then stick them in a capsule and eat it. And you can say, boy, I'm taking a lot of iron. But it doesn't do you any good. And that's what happens with pasteurized milk. See, when you pasteurize the milk, you destroy the enzyme that you have to have in that milk. When God gave us a land of milk and honey, it wasn't pasteurized. So when you're drinking pasteurized milk without the enzyme, you cannot absorb, you cannot digest, you cannot utilize the calcium in the milk. So when the advertising agency on Madison Avenue says milk is filled with calcium, they're not lying to you. They're telling you the truth. Milk is full of calcium. Where the lie comes in is in the deception that the milk that you're buying at the Kroger store is good for you because it's been pasteurized and protects you from bacteria. Well, it's been pasteurized and it protects you from bacteria. However, because you destroyed the enzyme, the calcium is no longer available to you. But you don't think about that now, do you? And you can drink all of that pasteurized store milk that you want, and it's not going to do anything for you. And you can't get the nutrients out of it because the enzyme's been killed by the heat in the pasteurization process. And you don't have that enzyme in your body. It only comes from the milk. And that's why you're lactose intolerant. You're not lactose intolerant. That's not a genetic deficiency. You don't have a genetic problem. Again, you could have a medical problem, but you probably have a legal problem. That's the bottom line. Remember, this story comes from www.pbs.org, and that's the webpage. PBS.org, then go to WGBH for this report. WGBH/pages/frontline. This is the frontline story. All I did was come along and say, okay, now I'm going to take this frontline story and let's take a look at it from the perspective of the scripture. Let's take a look at it from the perspective of the Bible. People write me letters all the time, and they're oftentimes tragic, and they're sad. Sad letters. And I hate to be the guy that comes along and, you know, has to be the heavy hand that says, well, you know, you brought it on yourself. But somebody needs to tell you know, you brought it on yourself. Next week we're going to cover another brought it on yourself disease called diabetes. Diabetes is practically epidemic here in the United States. Can't speak for the rest of the world. I'll get the numbers together for you and give you a report on diabetes. Totally curable. Totally preventable. And it's a fatal malady. It's a cash cow that makes the pharmaceutical and the medical industry billions of dollars. They're never going to cure diabetes. They just want to treat you. They just want you to be dependent upon the medical establishment for the rest of your life, paying your money. And if you don't have it, we'll tax the guys that are healthy to give you the money to buy the insulin. It's what they've done to the old people now. Turned the entire nation into a nation of drug addicts. For profit, of course. All right, I'm about out of time. We're going to have to leave it right there. So, let me give you your final reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.